Thank you, Nathan. That'll wake you up this morning. In Christ alone. Amen. What a song. I can still remember the emotions that I felt as I walked into that room. As I walked through that doorway, I saw my grandmother laying on a hospital bed in her hospital gown. I knew my task, and I knew the importance of my task. My grandfather had asked me to pray for my grandmother, who needed much rest. It was a phone call that brought me into this room. It was my father who was on the other line, who alerted me to the fact that it was indeed Mammy's heart. You see, a few hours earlier, my grandfather had rushed her to the Murray Callaway County emergency room, and there they discovered it was indeed her heart. So they rushed her to Paducah. When news began to spread to the family, everyone stopped dead in their tracks and immediately rushed to Paducah, because we all knew it was Mammy's heart. This morning, I don't have to convince any of you of the importance of your physical heart. We all know that failure of the heart is fatal. But this morning, what I might have to convince you of is the importance of your spiritual heart. And that failure of your spiritual heart can be equally as devastating to your spiritual life. We're in a series called Spiritually Fit. The first week we went to the doctor and we got a checkup. The second week we learned how to eat right from God's Word. Last week we talked about our respiratory system, about how to have an intimate prayer life with God. And this morning we're going to be looking at the heart. And this morning we're going to be looking at cardiovascular serving for a healthy heart. So in order to convince you to become passionate about cardiovascular serving, I want to do four things. Number one, I want to show you the importance of the heart. Number two, I want us to look at the model heart. What's a healthy heart? And then thirdly, I want to ask, how is your heart? How is your heart rate? And then fourth, we're going to look at cardiovascular serving to strengthen your heart. So the importance of the heart. How important is the heart? Well, we know the physical heart is a muscle found in your body that pumps blood to your whole body. So we know it is absolutely important. If you live to be 66 years old and your heart beats at 72 beats per minute, that means your heart is going to beat 2.5 billion times in your lifetime. We all know, simply said, the heart in your body is extremely important. If it stops, game over. End of story. So the physical heart is so important, but equally important is your spiritual heart. I want you to look with me in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And we're going to see King Solomon is going to tell us the importance of our spiritual heart. Here's what he says in verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. He says, keep your heart with all vigilance. That word vigilance, it means to be alertfully watchful, especially to avoid danger. The NIV translates this, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flows the wellspring of life. So guard your heart, protect your heart, look out for your heart. Why? Because your heart is very important. Because from your spiritual heart flows the rest of your life. If you have a healthy heart, it's going to flow a healthy lifestyle that's producing fruit to the glory of God. If your spiritual heart is sick, it is going to produce a life that is not glorifying to God. So when we use the word heart, what are we talking about? Well, the biblical heart, according to Strong's Concordance, is this. It's the seat and center of the human life. So when the Bible uses the word heart, it's talking about the very core of who you are, the center of who you are, the seat of who you are. It's spoken of over 1,000 times in the Bible. And your spiritual heart is even more important than your physical heart, because your spiritual heart makes a difference for eternity. So now that we saw the importance of the heart, how do we keep it? How do we protect it? How do we watch over it? How do we ensure our heart is indeed healthy? Well, we first have to ask the question, what is a healthy heart? To know how your heart is, you've got to look at what a healthy heart is. And one way to gauge if your heart is healthy is to take your heart rate, to determine your heart rate. Now, when we talk about heart rate, we usually talk about three things. There's a resting heart rate, there's a maximum heart rate, and then there is what we call a target heart rate. So if you want to know if your heart's healthy this morning, you need to have a resting heart rate of about 60 to 100 beats per minute. Anything higher than that might signal your heart is unhealthy. Anything lower than that might signal that your heart is unhealthy. So how do you figure out what your maximum heart rate is? Well, you take the number 220 and you subtract that by your age. So for me, I would take 220, subtract it by 27, and that would be 193. So I know my maximum heart rate is 193. I don't need to go above that or it's going to be dangerous for me. But then what's the target heart rate? Well, your target heart rate is 60 to 80% of your maximum heart rate. So for me, that's about 154. So if I'm wanting to exercise, if I'm really wanting to work out my heart, I know that I need to elevate it to about 154 to get a very good physical cardiovascular workout. So that's your physical heart. That's a way you can tell if your physical heart is in shape. But what about your spiritual heart? How do we know what a spiritual heart is? Well, I would answer that by saying a spiritual heart is one that beats like the heart of Jesus. Jesus had the model heart, the heart we all long for. So Jesus has the model. So in order to test our hearts, we've got to see, do our hearts match Jesus? What His heart beat for, does our heart beat for? So what did Jesus' heart beat for? Well, we see in Mark 10, verse 45, it says this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many." So we see from our Savior's heart flowed a life that was not about Him, but a life that was about Him. His life was marked with serving others. So we see a healthy heart. If you have a healthy heart this morning, a healthy spiritual heart, you're going to have a heart that longs to serve others, just like Jesus. He came not to serve, not that everyone would serve Him, but He came actually to serve us and to serve us in a way that would eventually lead Him to a cross, giving His life on our behalf. When Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment in all of Scripture? This is what Jesus answered in Matthew 22:37. And He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So Jesus is saying the most important thing is for us to have a healthy heart. And here's what a healthy heart does. It loves God and it serves others. So we love God and we love others. It's not self-centered, but it is others-centered. So that's what a healthy spiritual heart looks like. So our question this morning is, how is your heart? And if we want to ask that question, how is your heart doing? We want to ask the question, what is your heart rate? Is your heart beating for the things that Jesus is beating? So in order to figure out what our heart rate is this morning, what our serving heart rate is this morning, if I were to ask you, what's your physical heart rate? The first thing you would do is check your pulse. So this morning, let's make sure everyone in here has a pulse. So take two fingers on your right hand like this. Everyone raise them up. And then you're going to take your wrist. In order to check your pulse, you're going to put your two fingers like that on these bones. And you're going to press down for a few seconds. And you should start feeling something. A little ba-boom, ba-boom. Everybody feel that? Some of you got the neck going. That's fine. We're feeling for a pulse. Now, if you don't have a pulse, go ahead and tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, "Neighbor, I need you to take me to the doctor because something is wrong." Okay, hopefully in here, everyone, we all have a pulse. We're all here, we're all breathing, we all have a pulse. But what about spiritually? How do we know if we have a spiritual pulse? How do we know if we have a spiritual heart? We can't check our pulse like this. So we've got to ask this question. Have you experienced the gift of salvation? Here's what Ezekiel 37 says. God speaks to His people and says this, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you." Listen to this. "I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and carefully obey my rules." So the question this morning is, do you have a spiritual pulse? Have you had that heart exchange that Jesus gives to us when we repent of being a sinner and put our faith and trust in Him? Have you had your heart of stone that was completely self-centered, taken from you, and replacing it was a heart of flesh, a heart that loves God and a heart that beats for others? A heart that is not about me, but a heart that is about Him and them. So, if you have a spiritual pulse this morning, if you have received the gift of salvation, your next question needs to be, what is my heart rate? How am I currently serving? And there's three possible heart rates. Number one, you have a resting heart rate. Number two, you have a maximum heart rate. Number three, you have a target heart rate. So this is what number one would look like. If you're in this room, you have a spiritual heart, but right now you have a resting heart rate. It means that you're loving God, but serving no one. You're resting. As far as your serving heart is concerned, it's not pumping like it should. It's not serving others. So for you, this would mean you're coming into church, you're sitting down, you're enjoying worship, you're listening to preaching, you're reading your Bible at home, you're praying. Your relationship between you and God is really, really good. But that's where it stops. It's never moved past just you and God to affecting those around you. So your serving heart rate is completely resting. You're loving God, but not serving others. But then on the other extreme, some of you are operating in your maximum serving heart rate. And what this means is you're serving everyone. You're involved in every ministry. You are doing every single thing possible. You're running 100 miles an hour, serving, 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 serving. But you're serving at the expense of forgetting your first love. Man, you're serving everyone. You're passionate about serving. You're passionate about loving your neighbor. But you have forgotten to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And what happens is when we serve at our maximum heart rate, we can't sustain it very long. Because we're operating in our own power and eventually you're going to crash. So where do we serve at? We serve in our target heart rate. And we develop our target heart rate when we truly love God and serve others. We're loving God, but it's not just us and God, it's everyone around us too. So we're loving God, we're loving others. In your physical heart, you have four chambers. There's two chambers that pump blood in, there's two chambers that pump blood out. And I think in your spiritual life, it's kind of the same. You've got to have blood pumping in, you've got to have that relationship with Christ that is vibrant. But then as that's coming into your life, you've got to also have chambers pushing out, which is you serving others, you showing Christ's love for those around you. So now that we've looked at what your heart rate is, and as you think about it, okay, where am I at? Am I resting? Am I maximum? Or am I in my target heart rate? Our last thing we're going to look at is cardiovascular serving to strengthen your heart. So if you, in your physical heart, were to ask me, okay, Corey, how do I strengthen my physical heart? How do I make my physical heart more healthy? Well, as we've said before, your heart is a muscle, and cardiovascular exercise is the way that we work out our heart muscle, and we make it stronger, we make it more healthy so that it pumps more blood and it improves our overall health. Now, in order to start getting your heart healthy, there's three tips that I want to give you. Number one, start small. Number two, adopt a motto. And number three, get active. So the first thing, if you said, okay, I'm doing no physical activity, I'm doing no cardiovascular endurance, my encouragement to you right off the bat would be start small. Don't leave and wake up tomorrow and say, okay, today I'm going to run a marathon. 26 miles. I haven't walked in a long time, but I'm just going to do it. Now, that would be crazy, right? You would fail, and then you would be upset, and then you would stop working out your heart because you think you can't do it. So what I would say is, if you're not in cardiovascular endurance shape, start small. Don't start with a marathon. Start with walking. And then let walking lead you to jogging. And then jogging leads you to running. And then as the weeks go by, increase the mileage as your cardiovascular endurance picks up. So it's very important when we think about our physical heart to start out small. The second thing I would tell you to do is to adopt a motto. Lance Armstrong came up with the motto, live strong. So let's say you want to get in physical shape. Let's say you adopted that motto, so all of a sudden you're living strong. Now you got the bracelet, you got the cap, you got the shirt, you got everything. You're living strong. Now what does a motto do? Well, it changes your attitude. It changes the way you look at life. Because now you're waking up in the morning not just saying, well, I'm living. No, now you're living strong. So when it comes to breakfast, what kind of breakfast do you pick? Cinnamon rolls or Wheaties? Well, I'm living strong, so I'm going for the Wheaties. And I can't just go to work. I need to get a jog in because I'm living strong. And it affects your entire day. So you need to adopt a motto if you're going to become physically fit for your heart. And then the third thing that I would tell you to do is to get active. You actually have to go and do something, whether it be walk or run or jog or swim. You can't just think about cardio exercise. You actually have to go exercise. So that's for your physical heart. What about for your spiritual heart? What about starting to serve God's people? Well, I would give you the same three tips. Number one, start out small. If you're in this congregation and you realize, man, I'm resting, I'm loving God, but I'm not serving anyone, start small. Don't go and sign up for some huge ministry that's going to take up all of your time because you're going to get started and then you're going to collapse. Start small. Take baby steps. Just start serving a little bit and then a little bit more and then a little bit more. And as your serving increases, keep serving more and more. So start out small. The next thing I would say is to adopt a motto. Now, I'll give you the motto that I've got. And it's an easy motto, but it's this. I'm third. That's the motto that I try to keep in the back of my mind as I go somewhere, as I'm walking home, whatever I'm doing, I try to keep this motto in the back of my mind. I'm third. And what that motto says is this: God is number one, others are number two, and I'm third. And I think if we would adopt that motto, it would change the way we look at our surroundings. All of a sudden, we're not walking into our jobs or walking into our homes or walking into Walmart thinking, everyone's here to serve me. I'm number one. Instead, you're thinking, no, God's number one. Everyone around me is number two. Therefore, how can I serve those around me? And then the last tip I would give you is to get active. Start serving. Start doing something. So for the remainder of our time, I'm going to assume the position as your personal cardiovascular serving trainer. And I'm going to give you some tips on how you can begin serving. And the plan I've come up with is for beginner servers, it's for intermediate servers, and it is for advanced servers. So anywhere in this plan will fit you. But here's what I want you to think. No matter where you are, start small. Take the next step. So I come up with five areas that I think we need to be doing cardiovascular serving in. Area number one is the home. Number two is the church. Number three is the community. Number four is our work. And number five is the world. So those are the areas we're going to look at, the areas we need to be exercising our serving muscles so that we have a healthy heart. So the first one we're going to look at is the home. And the first person I'm going to give advice to is to the dads and to the husbands. How do you exercise your serving muscles at home? Well, here's what Ephesians 5:25 says. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So, husbands, I want you to first think about my wife. How can I exercise my serving muscles and serve my wife? The Bible says for us to love our wives like Christ loved the church. We've already seen that Christ loved the church by serving her, by giving his life for her. So how do we start? Guys, maybe you're not serving your wife at all. How do we start? How do we take a baby step? Well, here's baby step number one. Start praying for your wife. I think all of us husbands in here can do that. Just start praying for your wife. That's a way you can just start that serving muscle going. What I would encourage you to do is on your way home from work, instead of listening to ESPN radio, turn it off and use that time to pray for your wife. So step one, just pray for your wife. Step two, what about when you start flexing that muscle, you start praying for your wife, what can you do past that? Well, maybe step two is not only pray for your wife, but pray with your wife. See, you've got a little endurance now. You've got a little strength now. So now you're not only praying for her, you're praying with her. Maybe before you go to bed, you're saying, honey, how can I pray for you? Let me intercede on your behalf because I care for you, because I love you. Another tip for husbands is to ask this question. How can I bless my wife today? It's a simple question. It's a good one to ask every day. Maybe after you pray for your wife, if you're on your way home, this is the next question you have. How can I bless my wife today? And you're thinking about when you're driving home, when I walk into the house, it's not about me, it's about God and it's about them. So how can I bless my wife when I walk in the front door? And think about, what is she like? Maybe your wife likes you to come in and give her a kiss to show you love her. If she likes that, that's free, go do it. Maybe for some of you, your wife likes flowers. That's going to be a little more expensive. But how can you bless her? Bless her with flowers. Maybe your wife wants you to walk in and take the kids and hang out with the kids so that she can have some alone time. Whatever blesses your wife, find those things and ask the question, how can I bless my wife? And then start blessing your wife. So start out small. Start praying for her. Then start praying with her. Then start blessing her. What about dads? What if you have children? How can you flex your serving muscles to your kids? Well, here's what Ephesians 6 says. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Here's what the Bible says, dads. We are the primary spiritual leaders in our home. We are to lead our kids in the way of the Lord. So here's your question if you're a dad. How can I lead my kids spiritually? And I know for some of you dads, you're thinking, whoa, this is too far. I cannot lead my kids spiritually. I cannot teach them the Bible. Remember, we're not running a marathon off the start. We're taking baby steps. So here's your first step, dads. Start praying for your kids. What I would do is on your way to work, as you're driving to work, you've got on your way home, you're praying for your wife and you're asking, how can I bless my wife? On your way to work, you're praying for your kids. You're lifting up them before the Lord. That's the baby step. We're starting to exercise that muscle. Your way to work, you're not thinking about you, you're thinking about them. But then it moves on from there. And now you're not only praying for your kids, but now you're praying with your kids. He says you increase that serving muscle, it allows you to do more and more. So now you're praying with your kids, maybe before they go to bed, maybe before they leave for school. Maybe you just have a time set out where you say, son, let me pray for you. Daughter, let me pray for you. So you're exercising those serving muscles. But it doesn't stop there. You've got to find a way to get the Word of God to filtrate your home. So how do you start that? Here's my suggestion. I would start reading a Bible verse at dinner. That's it. Just open the Bible, before you pray, read a Bible verse. Just one verse, and then pray, and then eat dinner. I think all of us dads could do that. Okay, most of us know how to read. If not, you can listen to the audio and memorize it, but just one verse. Just read it, and then pray, and then get about dinner. It's an easy step that we can begin to enter God's Word into our homes. And then as that becomes sort of a staple thing, we're reading Scripture before mealtime, then dads, take a few minutes and read the Scripture before you read it to the family and think about it. And maybe think about one thing you could say about that verse. So now you're reading the verse before dinner, you're praying, and then you're having a little discussion around the table about that verse. So again, these are baby steps. You don't do this the first time, you do it slowly. And then as you begin to read the Word of God in your home, as you begin to have dialogue with your children, the next step might be starting a family devotion. Once a week, have a time where you bring all the kids in the living room and you have a family devotion. Now for some of your dads, you're thinking, there's no way I could do that. And you're probably right. Right now, you might not could. But as you take baby steps, as you start serving with that muscle, you begin to grow. Eventually, you could do a Bible study for your family. You could have a family devotion with your kids. And that would be the absolute greatest way you could serve your children at home, by teaching them a biblical worldview. What about the wives? Wives, how can you serve your husbands and serve your children and flex that serving muscle at home? Well, Ephesians 5:33 says this, "And let the wife see that she respects her husband." So here's the questions I think you wives need to ask is this: how can I serve my husband by showing him I respect him? How can I let him know I respect him? For some of you, it might be words of affirmation. When he comes home from work, the first thing is not take out the trash, but the first thing is, "Man, honey, I'm so thankful that you are working hard for this family. I just want to say that I respect your leadership. I respect what God is doing in your life. I love you. I love following you. You are a great husband." Man, that's a way to serve him. That's a way where you can love him. Maybe it's fixing his favorite meal just because he's your husband. Just because he's your head and you're saying, "I respect you, I love you, I want to serve you." What about with the kids? Wives, I think one of the best ways you can serve your kids is by having an attitude that they are a blessing, not a burden. See, I think sometimes, especially for moms, you can get so caught up with doing the laundry and cleaning and fixing meals that it's almost kids become a burden. They become a hassle. And your attitude towards them is, "You're a burden. I'm having to fold your clothes. I'm having to do your laundry. I'm having to do all this stuff for you." And kids feel that and they get this sense of, "Man, I'm a burden to my mom." So one of the ways I think you could really serve your kids is to have a joyful attitude, especially towards them, to let them know, "Hey, you're a blessing. I love folding your shirt because I love you. Because you're a blessing from the Lord." So you can serve your kids by having a joyful attitude at home. Well, what about kids? We can't leave you guys out of this. What do you do in the home to exercise your serving muscles? Well, here's what the Scripture says in Ephesians 6. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." Kids, here's what your thought needs to be in your home. How can I be a blessing instead of a burden? Some of you kids are a burden. You are a pain to your parents. Shame on you. If you have the heart of Jesus, you should be a blessing to your parents. This means that that room that you think is yours, that they pay for and they allow you to stay in, it means you take care of it. You clean it. Not because they ask you, but because you are honoring them. You're saying, "Thank you for providing me a space to live. Therefore, I'm going to keep it clean because I honor you and I respect you and I want to bless you." Kids, it means helping out around the home. It means you're not number one. God is number one and your parents or siblings are number two. You're number three. So your mom and dad, they're not your butler. You're there to bless them. You're there to help them. You're there to serve them. And children, it means putting your siblings before yourself. Man, that's tough. Putting brother or sister above yourself. But this is a way that if you have a spiritual heart, you can begin to flex your spiritual muscles in your home. What about in the church? Well, Romans chapter 12 says this, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." Here's what Paul says. If you're a believer, if you have a new heart, if you have a serving heart, if you experience salvation, God, by His grace, has given you a gift. And Paul's command is, therefore, use your gift. So how do you do this? How do you figure out what my gift is and how I can serve? We went to Crossings Camp last summer and they had a little formula and I really liked it. They told us to match our burden with our passion. So think about it. In this body, what is your burden? What moves you? What do you care about? And then what is your passion? What are you good at? What do you enjoy? What are your talents? So you take your burden, what do I care about, and your passion, what am I good at, and you put them together, and that is how you can serve this body. Let's just say that one of your burden is that you feel burdened that visitors don't feel welcome when they come into this place. That's your burden. And your passion, what you're really good at, you're a people's person. You love meeting new people. Well, take your burden and your passion, put it together, and start serving on the visitor team here at Hardin. Let's suppose that your burden is the church lawn. When you pull up, you're always looking at it. You're always making sure, has it been cut today? Has the weeds been pulled? It's your burden. It's on your radar. You care about it. And your passion, one of the things you're good at, is landscaping and mowing. Well, don't just come and observe the lawn, but put your burden and your passion together and start serving the lawn for the glory of Christ. So take your burden, that thing that moves you, and take your passion, that thing you're good at, and put it together and serve in this body. Now, if you're saying, I don't know my burden and I don't know my passion, therefore I can check out. No, Paul's not saying this is a suggestion. He says this is a command. So if you don't know your burden, if you don't know your passion, just start serving somewhere. And I promise you, you're going to figure out if it's your burden and your passion. And if that's not your place, go do something else. But the important thing is, you have a gift. You need to serve in this body. The third thing is the community. Matthew 22 says this, love your neighbor as yourself. Here's your question. How can I serve those who live close to me? Now, baby steps. Remember, baby steps. We're just taking small steps in our cardiovascular serving. So here's some tips. I want you to target the house to the left, to the right, and in front of you. Just those three houses, just the triangle. Those are the ones you're going to concentrate on. And here's the first step. Make contact. Make contact with your neighbor. If you're out in the yard and your neighbor's out in his yard, don't just ignore him. Make contact. Say, hey, neighbor. If you've never met your neighbor, walk across the yard and say, hey, I'm your neighbor. My name's Corey. Just want to get to know you a little bit. How you doing? Yard's looking great. Let us know if you need anything. Just make contact. So you're on their radar. They're on your radar. Second step, bake something. Neighbors love baked goods. My wife is an amazing cook, and I've never walked up to one of our neighbors and say, hey, here's an extra pumpkin pie we baked for you. And they slam the door in my face. Never happens. They love it. They welcome me into their home. Neighbors love baked goods. So the second thing, first, make contact. Second, bake something. Show I care about you. And then the third thing, as you begin to exercise that muscle, start noticing things around your neighborhood. Start noticing your neighbor's house and maybe some needs they have, and elevate that need to your need and help it. The other day I was rushing out, I was in a hurry, and I walked out, there's snow on the ground, and I'm almost in my car, and I glance at my neighbor's yard, and my neighbor loves to feed cats. She's got bowls and bowls of cat food on her porch, and the wind took those, and there was about 100 bowls of cat food all over her yard. So I'm thinking, I didn't see it. And then I'm like, I'm third. So I walked over, and what do? I cleaned her yard, because her yard, in my mind, is my yard. I elevated her need or it becomes my need. And that's how we begin to serve our neighbors. Then fourthly, invite them into your home, either for dinner or for coffee. Invite them over for a meal. Your neighbors are going to love to come eat a meal with you. Invite them over. And then when you really get to serving them, you really get burdened, this is sort of the marathon, invite them into your home for a Bible study. Imagine if you invited them into your home because you realize their biggest need is not cat food cleaned up from their yard, but to hear the Word of God. But it's not starting with an in-home Bible study. It's starting with making contact. It's starting with saying hey. It's starting with baking them something. So take little steps. Fourthly, what about work? And if you're a kid, if you're a college student, this could be the school, this could be your college. Here's what Colossians says. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So here's our question. How can I serve my employer? How can I serve them? How can I do my job to the best of my ability? And how can I serve my coworkers where I'm not competing with them, but I'm teaming up with them so that we can adequately serve our boss? How do I serve my teachers? How do I serve those in authority over me? And lastly, we have the world. Here's what Matthew 28 says. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So here's your question. How can I begin to flex my serving muscles to people outside of my country? Now again, don't start with the marathon. You're automatically thinking, I can't be a full-time missionary. That's okay. God's not calling all of you to be full-time missionaries. But here's what you can do. You can start serving the world. Here's step one. Start praying for one country every week. Just once a week, pray for one country. Just lift them up in prayer. Put that on your radar. And then maybe the second step is you really begin to be burdened about a specific country. Maybe you could look at an organization like Compassion International and physically give money to support an orphan in need in that country. That's the second step. That's another little way you can flex your serving muscles. Thirdly, maybe you could go on a short-term mission trip. Take a week out of your year and go to another context and serve those people. Maybe the fourth thing you could do as you begin to really be passionate about the world is you could support a full-time missionary. You could begin to give money so that people can stay on the mission field. And then lastly, the marathon, maybe you get so burdened about the world that you become a full-time missionary. So the point is that if your heart is like Jesus, your heart should long to serve. But some of us haven't served in a long time. So we've got to have cardiovascular serving that increases that blood flow. It increases us where we begin to have a healthy heart. So my encouragement in all these areas, start small. Start with prayer. Start taking the next little step. And as you increase, your serving is going to increase. So here's what we've kind of saw this morning. We saw the importance of the heart. That from your heart flows your entire spiritual life. We saw the model heart. We saw that Jesus' heart beat for the glory of God and the good of others. And then we saw that we need to be serving in our target heart rate, both loving God and serving others. And lastly, we looked at a cardiovascular serving plan that you can implement in your life so that you increase your heart. You increase your serving heart rate. So the question for you is, where are you this morning? Where are you? Are you resting? Are you not doing anything as far as serving people? Are you at maximum heart rate where you're go, 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 but you're forgetting the Lord your God? Or are you in your target heart rate? And wherever you are, here's the next question. How do I get where I need to be? How do I take my heart and get it to where the heart of Jesus is? How do I do that? I can still remember those emotions I felt when I walked into that room because I knew my task and I knew the importance of my task because I knew my mammy needed her sleep because her heart was at stake. This morning before you, my task has been equally as challenging. Because when it comes to serving, your spiritual heart is at stake. So this morning as we close, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that you would develop a heart of service for the good of others and for the ultimate glory of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I pray that we would understand the importance of our heart, that from it flows our whole life. I pray that we learn this morning how we can strengthen our heart by cardiovascular serving. God, I pray that you would impress upon us the need and the urgency for starting to serve in our target heart rate. God, help us to take small steps in our fitness plan so that we don't burn out, we don't overload, but we go at a healthy pace that eventually leads to a life that is completely others-centered for your honor and your glory and for the good of those around us. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his example of how he served us. Let us look to him. Let us learn from him. And let us serve by the grace of him. And it's in Jesus' good name I pray. Amen.